Welcome to Heart, Hustle, and Humor, a show for dedicated, hardworking, fun entrepreneurs and business owners who want to build a business bigger than their own satisfaction. We all know heart got you started, hustle made it happen, and humor got you through it. This is the only place you can get inspired and motivated by my guests who are using the trifecta of heart, hustle, and humor in their business. It's time to dream higher. Today's episode is brought to you by Kaleidoscope Media Services. Kaleidoscope Media Services helps professionals scale their business by adding digital products for success. I'm your host, Dr. T. Welcome to another episode of Heart, Hustle, and Humor. I'm your host, Dr. T. And in studio today, I have Megan Dowd. Megan, welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. T. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, we've been planning this for a long time. We've had some good conversations, but I have got to give them your intro. And this intro is a fun intro, but it doesn't describe everything you've done. But I've got to give them a little nugget about you because it's so fun. A taste. That's right. So you are a brand therapist. Megan Dowd is a neurodiverse entrepreneur, business strategist, coach, and storyteller. With her human first, biz second approach, she is helping new and seasoned business owners build a better human connection with themselves and their clients, leaning into who they are and what they stand for. After nearly a decade as a professional actress and a Jill of all trades in that industry, Megan decided to go into business for herself. There, she learned that the skills she acquired in acting reciprocated into business. Oh, yeah, we're all got a little bit of acting in us. She started MD & Co. in 2018 and celebrates leveraging her clients' strengths, transparency, values, and building a connection. She also built Hello CEO in 2020 to help support neurodiverse entrepreneurs so they can build where they can thrive in a business world that isn't one size fits all. It's so true. She is also the founder of the original Spicy Soapbox, where she candidly discusses an array of topics. I wonder what those spicy topics are. Offline, you can find her drinking cold brew, cuddling with fluffy cats, and eating plenty of snacks. So, all right, my first question, cuddling with cats. I have dogs, but really more importantly, what are the snacks you like?
Oh, what are the snacks I don't like might be a better question. Right now, I'm going hard into like my toddler elementary years.
Yeah.
With if we're going healthy, give me all the cut up vegetables with probably too much ranch, but who cares? Because you only live once.
Right.
And do you remember those? I think they're from Keebler. Doesn't matter. There's an elf on them. Yeah. The cheddar crackers with the peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, those are so good.
I don't know why. I grew up in a very health conscious household. Uh-huh. My folks are both food scientists for Pillsbury. So like my brother and I knew how to read a nutrition panel when we learned how to read.
All right.
All in right. large part because we were only allowed cereals that were 6 grams of sugar or less. So we knew how to figure that one out. And for some reason, it never occurred to me that you could buy packs of those crackers. I always just thought they were for vending machines, which for like vacation or travel. No, you could buy a full pack at Target.
Big thing, right? You can just have them sitting there. Okay.
I discovered that about 2 weeks ago. And
Well, those are good. I love those on a road trip. Those are perfect. And yeah, veggies with ranch. I don't know. I just had that a little snack yesterday for that. So. Oh, man. See, this is what we have in common. We like snacks.
I don't trust people who don't like snacks because
they doing? Okay, now let's start getting down to some, that was business, but let's get down to some serious business.
Some other business.
I want you to explain to the audience, what is neurodiverse entrepreneurs? Who is that?
So neurodivergent or neurodiverse is a term to mean you're not neurotypical. Your brain is structured chemically and physically in a way that's just works a little bit different than other folks. So if we consider the world neurotypical, those that are neurodiverse typically struggle with autism, ADHD, anxiety, PTSD, sometimes depression. It's the things that get in the way of a typical day and of how you view, how you think about, how you enact, really in many ways, how hampered your executive function is, which is, I think, also a moment to say, I really dislike the term high functioning and low functioning because it really comes down to like capitalistic productivity. In my opinion, there's no such thing as high functioning or low functioning. It's just what we deem closer to neurotypical. And that's its own can of worms that we won't get into. So that's a very long, short definition of neurodivergent, neurodiverse. Neurodivergent entrepreneurs are those of us who deal with those things, who we think about things a little bit differently. And there are a lot of us that are entrepreneurs because we don't always work well in a 9-to-5 setting or in a more traditional work setting because we think about things differently, because our bodies have different circadian hours, because we thrive in different environments. So that's a huge part. When I was a bank teller, I didn't have the option to like have a wiggle seat and have all my fidgets. I'm on a sitting on a little platform and I've got a little mat. So I'm up and down and up and down all the time because I'm a wiggly human.
It's recognizing that we each work in a different way.
Yeah.
And yet we can have fantastic outcomes. And it's that acceptance of self within that. But it's also seeing, having other people. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of the world has shifted in this digital opportunity and, you know, e-courses or learning online or automation. This has really accelerated some of these opportunities. So going into that and understanding that better, let's talk a little bit about heart, because I love what you said. You said, right now, following my heart looks like listening to my body. I have so many big ideas and ambitions. So what does that mean for you? How are you following your heart with what you really want to do?
It sounds so backwards in the traditional way that we answer, like, how are you following your heart? But like, it really, for me, is slowing down. It's been a rough couple of years. It's been a solid year of stability at this point. But prior to that, it was a rough few years. And my partner and I like to joke that not only do we still love each other, but we still like each other. And that's the miracle. Because like, of course, we love each other, but we like each other. We're good to go. We can do anything.
Right.
And so in many ways, during the gnarly years, I, in many ways, just kind of let myself follow all the ideas, all the impulses, because in many ways it was a coping mechanism of like, all there's a shit storm around me.
Yep.
This is what I have control over. So we're diving in because it's the only thing we got. It's no longer the only place I have control. It doesn't need to be a coping mechanism. And so in many ways right now, following my heart looks like pumping my brakes and asking myself, not just, is this a good idea? Because I'm fairly confident I have a lot of good ideas. But evaluating, is this a good idea for me?
That is a huge shift.
And it's one that I really see, especially with neurodivergent entrepreneurs and small business owners. We're all, I think in general, humans are idea machines. And especially if you're neurodivergent, you kind of live in that idea machine space. And when it comes to small business, it's really hard for us with executive function challenges to actually evaluate, is this a good idea for me or just a good idea? Because when there's a good idea, you want to follow it. You want to do the things. You can see how it's all going to go down. You can see all the Tetris pieces and they're going to go like this. And they're going to land like this. And if somebody could just do X, Y, and Z, then it would work out. And I don't want to do X, Y, and Z, but if nobody else is going to do it, maybe I should do it, even though I hate it and it's wrong.
Yes. And as entrepreneurs, sometimes we make our decisions and we go for it, even though we know after 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, I am so not going to be happy. Yeah. And then, as you mentioned, it's about doing our best work. Our office, our company, it's all about, besides our theme being tacos, that we like to have tacos, it's all about doing our best work.
Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is having that idea that is right for you helps you do your best work. What are you doing to ensure you're doing your best work?
For me personally, it really comes back to values work. It's some of the work I love best to do with clients. It's work that is at the center of the justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion coaching training that I'm a part of at the moment, and that I'm going to be certified in within a month. I have to turn in my materials. Oh boy, time means nothing. I don't understand time right now. understanding your personal core values for me is the surest way to evaluate those ideas, to always ask myself, if I center insert value here, what does this look like? What would I choose? How will it affect me? If I center insert value here, is this a good idea for me?
Right.
I'm going to keep going back to neurodivergent, but especially when you've thought differently over the years and you may not have gotten the same kinds of positive reinforcement that you saw classmates getting because your ideas were different and they weren't the rote answer that was being asked of you. It's sometimes hard to let go of an idea that you know is good because it has potential. It's really successful and it's really hard to get personal with yourself, to have a come to Jesus talk with yourself to say, this is a great idea. And if you really want it to be great, you have to let it go because you will not do it justice.
This is why I think, and validate or have a different opinion, why I think so many people are leaving corporate America because they are coming up with some really good ideas that can help with the current environment. The ideas have to be different. You cannot do business the same anymore. I don't care what industry you're in. And I think people are going in having these ideas and they're constantly being shut down. And that, to me, affects people on a really deep emotional level when they know this could shift a business.
Absolutely. In general, it's so hard to have ideas dismissed. And when things are changing so rapidly, there is nothing more frustrating than being told by a higher up that you know is out of touch, really in many ways, not aligned with their values or even with the company's values. Because a lot of companies have some great lip service values, but when it comes to the actions, it's like, that's not actually what you value. That's not actually.
It's not. Because they don't attach behaviors to it.
Yes.
They got in a big room and said, oh, this value sounds good.
Yeah. And truly, one of the things I do with clients is rather than starting with like, what are the things you value? We start by digging into their stories. We start by digging into peak experiences. We start digging into moments of transcendence. And what are the actions? What are the behaviors? What are the experiences that made you feel like the most human you are? And from there, what is the language? And I mean, this is where the acting comes in and I get to get real nerdy about it. because my acting training was in classical theater. So like, give me all the language. Let's dig into the language. And the biggest thing is it doesn't matter how I define the word. How does it feel in your mouth? How does it feel in your body? It's semi-somatic work because it doesn't matter what it feels like to me. It doesn't matter how it sounds to me. It doesn't matter what connotations I have. It matters to you. It's the because we can always finesse the external expression. That's easy.
Yeah.
Find the internal expression first. Get your version of that language in your body, and then we can finesse the external. That's complex, but it's in the grand scheme, it's easy. It's complex, but it's easy.
Yeah. When I'm teaching students, you know, I ask them their values and they say, I have integrity. It's like, okay, so I have 10 people sitting in the room, define integrity for each one of you. And then all of a sudden the light goes on.
Yeah.
Wow. If I'm leading people, I'm using language that is so superficial. And I want to jump in right now because this is the perfect transition into the hustle, because I loved what you said to me. You said, when I say the word hustle, you go, what a wonderfully loaded word. So tell me about your life and hustle.
I'm going to tell a story. When I was little and my dad would coach us in softball and for my brother soccer, it started like as a joke when we just played backyard football, but he'd do things like, gotta hustle. Let's get some hustle. Let's see some hustle in there. And to me, that's really the definition. Speaking of like somatic language, that's the definition I've really deeply internalized because it always meant a short burst of energy. It didn't mean giving 110% for the full, you know, hour and a half game or whatever. It meant give that burst, make that thing happen, and then come back to, you know, your 75% where you can give it consistently.
Right, right.
And I love the word and I hate the word. For me, and this is where we like internal language versus external language, I will always have kind of a lovely connotation with hustle because it reminds me of my dad and it reminds me of backyard football games and softball games. And giving that hustle means to give that burst and make that goal, like get that second base in softball. Like you can hustle, get it. But in online business culture, in the online business industrial complex, as I would call it, Bro marketing has taken it to a new level of sacrifice and martyrdom.
Yeah.
And I'm not keen on that regardless.
Nope.
But especially for women, I'm really not keen on that because we already have a fun history of overlooked labor in every, like, emotional, physical.
Yes.
In many ways, we look at history and women's history is defined by ignored labor.
Yeah.
And I'm not a part of that. So externally, I'm very anti-hustle because we see the hustle as the grind, as that martyrdom, as that sacrifice in order to reap the rewards later. What if I don't want to sacrifice anything right now?
Right. This is such a great take on this. I have a coach, Mark LeBlanc. He's a renowned coach, and I've known him for years. And actually, he's business partners with my publisher, Henry DeVries. And, you know, he said what happens is as entrepreneurs, we shift into high gear and then we go into neutral. And then we shift into high gear and then we go into neutral. And the idea is find your gear.
Yeah.
You're not in neutral. You're not in high gear. You're going along. And then once in a while, you push.
Yeah.
But you don't go all the way up, or you don't go all the way down. You're just, it's the pace. It's the consistency that we're doing.
First and second gear exist for a reason.
Yes, sure does.
You can jump to five if you want, but it's not going to be great for the car.
And it's a little rough getting up there. Once you go from first to fifth, it's hard to get it going.
As someone who drives a manual, I'm like, just everything in my body is like, no.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
No, don't do it.
I must say, though, I do like shifting gears and going for it, but that's in the cars.
Yeah. Well, and when the thing is also, I mean, we want to take the metaphor to the car. You can feel with the car when you're driving a manual.
Yes.
You can feel when it's time to gun it. You can feel when it's right to shift the gears. And if we paid that kind of attention to our bodies,
yes,
to like when it's like, oh, I'm ready to shift into gear. Let's go.
Yep.
Think of what That's difference right. that would make, because in many ways, like, human, we're built for hard work. We can do hard things. That is not our problem.
No, it is not. It is not. It's the balancing of overdoing hard work or underdoing work, right?
Yeah. Well, and overdoing it. And so then you need to come to a crawl because you overdid it. And so you're going to have to slow down for a while. And then as soon as you're feeling a little bit better, instead of going into first, you're right back up into five. Like, what if we instead, just like we listen to our cars, listen to our bodies.
Wouldn't that be great? This is why in my time, I have scheduled fun. I go golfing. For me, family is important. I spend time with them, but it's in my schedule. Once it's in there, it's really, you're unlikely to shift if those are some of my priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So when I asked you about humor, I loved it because you flat out said, when is it not a priority? I mean, we're having fun here. It's not about the humor, but it's when you're in the grind or you're in the hustle and you realize, wow, I shouldn't be there. I need to have some levity. I need to have some fun. How are you as an entrepreneur pulling yourself back and bringing back that humor?
One of my favorite ways to, like, when I feel myself getting into that groove and like, oh no, I need to knock myself sideways to like, let's just get out. Bad reality TV.
There you go.
It's cheap and cheerful fun. And truly, in so many ways, it's like, go for the cheap laughs for yourself.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be good. No one can see me. Heavy air quotes, good. Yes. I love bad reality TV. And for the longest time, I was like, oh, it's really trashy. I shouldn't. And it was during the gnarly years. And I was like, fuck it. I need a smidge of joy. I need a smidge where I can turn my brain off, not deal with the shitstorm around me, not mentally do the things, just turn it off and just enjoy myself.
Yes.
And a dear friend and I started watching bad reality TV together via Netflix Teleparty. It's a Chrome browser extension where you can watch Netflix and it's synced between your two computers and there's a little live chat.
Oh, I just learned something today.
Let me tell you, if you have cross-country friends, it is one of the funnest ways to experience media, because you can do it on Hulu, you can do it on Disney, it's on Amazon Prime, basically anywhere you can stream movies, you can do the teleparty and do the chat. Oh. And then, so it was just then us making fun of these ridiculous statements, these out of this world perspective. and enjoying ourselves. So for me, when I'm in the shit, it is the looking for the cheapest. Trigger warning for those who have suffered with eating disorders. When you are recovering from an eating disorder, frequently the first thing that folks start to crave is processed food. Mm-hmm. Give me the deli meat, give me the chips, give me the Kraft singles. And a huge part of that is because your body knows it can process it quickly. It's not going to take any energy to get some energy out of it.
Yep.
And in many ways for me, that's trash TV. I know it's not going to take any energy for me to just have a ball.
Right. Just sit there and enjoy it and laugh. This is interesting because, well, first of all, now I know about this. It would be a hoot to do it with my sisters because we would have so much fun. But this leads to this whole, we are a global society. Mm-hmm. We have been, I think in the last few years, it's accelerated. Mm-hmm. We have clients all over the world. And part of what we do over at Kaleidoscope Media Services, besides, you know, automation and e-learning courses, we help people build communities. You're starting to get there. It's like these conversations that are happening with like-minded people. And I know you have a community, and I want you to talk about Hello CEO. Talk about your community, but more so why you created this community and why in today's day and age, it's important to build a community.
I'll answer that one off the bat because community is how we survive. And especially if you live in the States, it's been really trained out of us. We live in a very individualistic society in the States, and community has kind of been trained out of us. And we all crave it. It's part of being human. Just like telling stories is part of being human. I mean, stories are connection, and we crave connection. So within Hello CEO, I run a membership called the Connection Collective. It started in the summer of 2020 as everything was hitting the fan. At the time, I lived in Minneapolis. So George Floyd had just been murdered. Everything was going down with the pandemic. It was just hard on a day-to-day basis. And so I started this membership, originally conceived as a content marketing membership. Quickly realized that's not, one, what anyone wanted, and two, in many ways, what it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it really became a place for rather than like, well, this is the place where you're going to learn this, or as the leader, I provide this. It was a place for me to facilitate these incredible humans that I know that I enjoy gathering and help them get to know each other. And as a community, come together and find support together. Since it was, I mean, somewhat haphazardly thrown together in summer 2020, it grew into something that I knew like, oh, this belongs under Hello CEO. It is not required that you are neurodivergent. The only requirement is that you are a human and you are eager to connect with folks. A lot of us are neurodivergent, so we can really understand each other and some of the struggles that we're having, but it's not a requirement.
Right.
If you're open-minded to everyone has some kind of struggle, then you're golden. Come on in. And if you don't think that, then I don't think we're going to be talking regardless.
Probably. Yeah, that's not going to happen. You know, your point, it's you are not the leader in it. You're the facilitator. Mm-hmm. But a community, it's just sitting there talking and learning from each other. Yeah. It's about asking questions that, you know, you want to ask. You know, you're saying it's not just neurodivergent folks. We want to interact with all types of people that are open.
Yeah. I've seen a few memberships, like specifically for neurodivergent entrepreneurs, and they have resources for certain structures. And that's awesome. That needs to exist for that.
Yes.
The root of the Connection Collective is my own business tagline and the tagline, somewhat of the tagline for Hello CEO. Human first, biz second.
Beautiful.
You're here to be a human first. We want you to bring your humanness in. It was tragic and heart-wrenching. And one of our original members, just a few months in, lost a spouse to COVID.
Mm.
And what was so touching for me about this and where I was like, oh, we've got a good community here. I was on vacation at the time. I received no less than 5 texts, personal texts that people found my personal number, like through friends, and 7 or 8 private messages being like, hey, know you're on vacation. Want to respect that. Shit's going down. Here's what we're planning to do. And they'd already organized like, okay, we're going to get some flowers. We're going to get DoorDash. When the holidays come, we're going to do this because it's going to be rough around the hot. Like everyone had already kind of jumped into action to create this community care plan. And since then we've sent baby shower gifts. Oh, one of our members eloped. So we sent them and their spouse, like a cute little wedding box of like little wedding treats and like, congrats, you're married. Yeah.
And they dropped in our messages, like, this is the only gift we've received. Wow. Thanks. Like, this means a lot. It was really fun to actually unwrap something and like get to open it and get to have that experience. For me, it's been a really lovely reminder as shit continues to hit the fan over the past few years that like when we come together in community, humans, like we're really good.
Yeah.
We are really good when we are witnessed, when we are loved, when we are cared for. We're really good.
Yeah, we are. And you know what? We have giving bones in our body. We have gratitude in our body. You know, I'm always vacillating. Does the receiver or the giver get more from it? Because it's our nature. Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing that about your community, because I truly believe in whatever community it is. Mm-hmm. If it's a digital community, if it's a personal community, whatever, but stay connected. And that really is all about the heart, hustle, and humor. It's about how we're living our life. And we have to have all three of those. And as our time is coming to a close, I'm going to ask you this last question. Well, two more questions. One, what is the one thing you want to leave with this audience out of everything we've talked about? What is that last piece of information you really want to hit home for our audience?
I go silent when I think and then realize that that's terrible for podcasts.
A moment of silence is fine.
There's so many things that come to mind. One, that humans are good.
Right.
But perhaps for a personal note, especially if you are a community-minded person who doesn't necessarily internally go into your skills and strengths and all that good stuff. If you are building a business, if you are building something for yourself, look to your strengths, not your skills. Or rather, what you view as your strongest skills are typically would have been most rewarded as productive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at your strengths, you'll find where your skills sing.
Well,
start with your strengths. The skills will follow. You're skilled as fuck. You'll be fine.
You can do it. You can do anything you set your mind to. So, wow. All right. This has been great. I love all the stuff that we're talking about today. How do they get a hold of you?
You can find me via my contact form at withmegandowd.com. That's also all my handle for everything social.
Perfect.
So I love a good Instagram DM. Please say, please and thank you. Hello, my name is when you slide into my DMs.
You know. Right. But, you know,
introduce yourself. But beyond that, jump into whatever you want to chat about. I love getting to know people. I love chatting with folks about their, in air quotes, their weird hobbies. Or like, if you are a font of knowledge for just something weird and out there, I just want to learn about it. Just tell me about it. I'll sit and listen. If you think like, oh, everyone in my life is sick of hearing this. I am not. Hand raised. Get in my DMs and tell me everything about it.
Beautiful. Megan Dowd, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. And this has been another episode of Heart, Hustle, and Humor. Make sure you like this episode and you subscribe. Until next time, dream higher.
Are you a professional looking to take your business to the next level? If the answer is yes, then I want you to go to kaleidoscopemediaservices.com. Check it out. And if you feel you are ready, then set up a time to talk to me and my co-founder, Laura Neubauer. I'm your host, Dr. T. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review and share this podcast with your friends.